Hey, you guys. Good morning. It is Gina Crash. And this morning, the spotlight on Maryland is on the World Trade Center Institute here in Baltimore. And I'm joined by Susan Applin. She is the Chief Information Officer at the World Trade Center Institute. How you doing, Susan?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We're so excited you're here. And wait, but right off the bat, is it the World Trade Center Institute or is it just World Trade Center Institute?
We like to call it the World Trade Center Institute.
Okay, so yes. It's okay to use the.
It is. It is.
Now, how long have you been at WTCI? Do you also call it that?
I do. Okay. Yes, we all do.
Because it's easier, right? So how long have you been there?
I've been at WTCI for about a year and a half.
Okay. All right. So relatively new, I guess.
Relatively new.
And what was your background before that? Like, what led you to the World Trade Center Institute?
I had 30 years in the private sector, working for big brands across the U.S., Williams-Sonoma, Pottery Barn, Gap, Staples, in a variety of management roles. And then I did a couple of, I like to call them tours of duty as entrepreneurial stints. At one point, had my own company as well.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So, like retail, I like all the interior stuff. I know we're here in a nonprofit capacity, but that's an interesting background, and certainly you bring a lot to the table for WTCI. I noticed you guys are very active on social media, which we will talk about in a little bit, especially since you have so many great events that we can talk about. But on Instagram, you were described as an organization as empowering globally minded leaders with new ideas and valuable connections. And then I noticed on Twitter, it was the largest international business network of its kind in the mid-Atlantic. That's true, right?
That is true.
And firms benefit from our global connections, events, and international business services.
Yes.
That's quite a statement. That's quite a lot that you do. So I guess the best place to start for anybody who, like me, is not really that familiar with what you do, with the most important question, which is, what is the World Trade Center Institute?
Yeah, I'll give you a background. The World Trade Center Institute started in the late 80s. Governor Schaefer took a trip to Taiwan. And while he was in Taiwan meeting with the president and other people within the government, he learned that they had this international trade organization. And he came back to Baltimore and he said, we have to have one of those. We have a huge manufacturing sector. We have huge technology sectors. And we need this organization. So he called up Harold Adams, who was our chairman for about 30 years, just recently retired as our chairman. And as the story goes, Harold, start the World Trade Center Institute.
And so it was.
And so it was.
Well, that's really cool. So you definitely are celebrating 30 years. Are you doing that in any special way with like a mix of events and programs and series and things like that?
We are. We'll be celebrating it all year, but the signature event is Maryland Global Gala. Also, in conjunction with an annual event we have called the State of the Ports, and that's going to occur in November.
Okay, so I want to write that down because I want to make sure we don't miss anything here, right? And then I know the Women Spanning the Globe Leadership Conference, we heard a lot about that. I know you probably want to expand on that. Is that a new event for you guys, or how long have you been doing that, and when did you do it?
This year was our 13th year,
so
it's not a new event. And 2020 will be the 14th year. It's a collection of about 400 executives from around Maryland, some outside of Maryland, who assemble for a full day of professional development, empowerment, inspiration. You'll hear tremendous stories and speakers at this event, and it's a sellout event every year.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you were obviously a big part of that this year, I'm sure. And so some of those events are like a really great way to, you know, for people to connect and learn more about, you know, to get this access to these top leaders in the region that you might not normally get access to, right? So name, if you don't mind name dropping a little bit, some of those companies that you partner with and are associated with, because it's kind of interesting to know that they're doing something else other than their industries, you know.
Absolutely. So, you know, this is the only event that we have where it's women specific. Mm-hmm. And it's tremendous to see the organizations who come out to not only support it, but be a part of how we construct the day and how we define the day. Wells Fargo is our visionary sponsor. And JAPYGO, which is the international arm of Johns Hopkins, is also a signature sponsor for that event. But in addition to that, we have Tesco, we have McCormick. We have a number of companies who are key in making that day possible.
Gotcha. And are those events, whether it's, the Women Spanning the Globe Leadership Conference or any other events, are they open to the public or how does that work? Like, do you have to be invited? And if so, kind of a Or, you know, with, how does that happen?
The Women Spanning the Globe is open to the public, and anyone can reserve a seat that day or a table. I like to say do it early because it is a sellout event.
Mm-hmm. And how about some of the other ones that that you mentioned, like the Leadership Awards or the State of the Ports and that sort of thing coming up, your 30th anniversary party in November? You know, it's definitely open to WTCI members, but I guess the question would be, how do you become a member, and then how do you become an invited guest?
Excellent. So many of our events are not specific to members.
Gotcha.
The public can come. The Annual Leadership Awards is an event that happens every April. We have a Governor's Award, so Governor Hogan will come and actually present that award. This past year, Arne Sorensen from Marriott, CEO of Marriott, won the Governor's Award. And there'll be six other companies where the CEOs and the companies are recognized for leadership and achievement in the state of Maryland that night as well. That also is a sellout event. So that is open to the public, and I like to say reserve early and people know that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, in the 30 years and at least the time you've been there, have you noticed like any changes? The landscape, we mentioned we started industrially and technology, and a lot of that still pertains, but the harbor's changed a little, industry's changed a little, certainly. How do you think you guys continue to adapt to the changing landscape marketplace here in Baltimore and throughout Maryland? You do serve Maryland as well.
We
right?
do.
Yeah.
And specifically Maryland, but outside of Maryland as well in the Mid-Atlantic. Well, the world is changing and business is changing around the world. Trade is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're in the middle of a big, sort of trade redefinition with a number of countries.
Mm-hmm.
But as it relates to industry sectors, there's a lot of innovation that's happening right here in Maryland. We have programs that highlight that. We're highlighting innovation around the world that's benefiting Maryland companies. And so we highlight that. But technology sector's been growing in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Cyber, biotech are all big, big industries for the state.
And this show to Maryland, Spotlight on Maryland, is sort of doing just that, trying to shine a light on what you do, shining a light globally on the great work and the great people we have here in the state of Maryland. So
that's right.
Thank you for doing all that.
Yeah, many people don't know how innovative companies are here, right here in Maryland. So we designed a program called Agile. And
oh, yeah. Tell us about that. I know you have a ton of programs that you offer, and that's probably a great place to start, right?
It is. It's all about global innovation and leadership for executives. And essentially, we hit four big global issue topics and generally focus on those topics that are keeping global CEOs up at night. So the first one we did this year was innovations in artificial intelligence. And very interesting conversation about the impact of artificial intelligence, how you can reimagine what you do, your processes today, your systems, et cetera, but also just the implications on culture, implications on organization, legal implications when the computer starts to invent new things, who owns that, where is the intellectual property? Fascinating conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But Agile is three thought leaders, mostly from Maryland, Maryland companies, presenting in TED Talk style with a moderated panel afterwards and Q&A with the audience.
TED Talks, I hear that a lot. Is that, what does that stand for exactly?
Well, TED Talk is an official organization. And they're having presenters all over the world. And so I use that term just to set an expectation for what the presentation style will
be. I guess I haven't been invited to any TED Talks, and that's probably why I didn't know what that was.
You can go online and watch any TED Talk. You can do that for the rest of your life and probably not see them all.
Never run out of material, right? For sure. Okay, so that's really cool. And is that for any age? Like, do some things that sort of cater to college students and others to more like corporate CEO level or future leaders of the world,
Well, Agile started as a C-suite, a CEO, COO, CIO program, but has evolved to also expand into mid-management, so the up-and-coming leaders. And additionally, we're in a big venue at the Parkway Theater. That's where the event happens four times a year.
Oh,
it holds over 400 people. We think it's a beacon of Baltimore that
it
also
is.
Shows innovation.
Absolutely.
And The upstairs balcony, as well as expanded seating, gives us a tremendous opportunity to invite university students to hear these presentations as well.
I bet they love that. Are there specific schools that you work with, or anybody mm-hmm. who's listening to this program, can there be someone from the school that could contact you in a way that they could get involved in that in the future?
We work with a number of schools today, but we would love to invite any university or college who's listening today to reach out. And you can reach out to me directly at susan@wtci.org.
Okay, gotcha. And you also, that's your website as well, WTCI.org.
That's correct.
To find out more information about all these great programs, too. Have we pretty much explained Agile? Are we ready to move on to your other program called EDGE? Or is there anything else you'd like to add about Agile that we've forgotten?
I would just love to say about Agile, our next session is on September 12th.
That's important.
It's on innovations in consumer loyalty. Mm-hmm. And our last session of the year will be in December 11th. And that's on protecting the world's food supply.
That's important, too.
It is very important.
Now, who picks all these topics and touches on all these great, discussion starting things?
We get a lot of suggestions for people who are involved, a lot of suggestions from our members. But we actually do have a committee inside WTCI mm-hmm. that is looking at these topics that are impacting global businesses in the world today. And we finalize the four.
How great is that we have you right here in Baltimore?
We love being right here in Baltimore.
It's huge. Yeah, it's the best place to be. That's awesome. So moving on, we're talking about another one of your great programs that you offer with the World Trade Center Institute. Again, we are talking to Susan Applin, who is the Chief Innovation Officer. And now as we keep talking to you a little more, I'm understanding what that title mm-hmm. means even better, right? Because that's exactly what you're doing. So tell us a little bit about EDGE and what that program entails.
So the EDGE program is in its fifth year. And its other name is called the Bowie Fellowship.
Gotcha.
And Peter Bowie was the visionary behind this program. And it's for the mid-level management, the early senior executive who is looking for that pathway to the C-suite office. And this is a 9-month fellowship. It's very competitive to get in. It is the best global leadership fellowship in the Mid-Atlantic.
Wow. And
for 9 months, this group of 25, 26 very thoughtfully selected executives will go through supply chain discussions, training. That particularly session happens at Under Armour. Companies like Tesco and other companies will participate in that discussion, McCormick as well. And in addition to that, they go through leadership, strategy, finance, mergers and acquisitions, and a whole host of other topics that you really need to be very grounded in to successfully make your pathway to C-suite.
That's some vital, important proprietary information. Do you ever find that, are they willing to share that, or do you kind of have to draw it out of them sometimes?
Very willing to share that.
That's great.
There is, one of our biggest focus at World Trade Center is keeping talent, not just keeping companies here and innovation right here in Maryland, but keeping the talent right here in Maryland. And EDGE program, Bowie Fellowship, does just that. Mm-hmm. It gives these fellows an opportunity to network with CEOs in the region outside of their company, but also become a part of this group. And then they become part of the alumni group that continues to foster peer-to-peer discussions, collaboration, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Big part of what we do.
Yeah, I'll say. Before we get into citizen diplomacy and your cultural ambassador program and things like that, how can citizens themselves support the World Trade Center Institute? I know you are a nonprofit, mm-hmm. so how can, maybe if they're not a CEO or someone that's just listening that wants to get involved and support the work that you do, how can they do that on a more community-based level?
So two ways. Attend an event on a topic that you're interested in. We believe in lifelong learning. So whether you're a global leader or you're just interested
right.
in how to do business in Canada or France or Singapore, any of the countries that we'll be featuring, or you're interested in an Agile topic, or you know of a talented global leader that you would like to nominate for the EDGE Fellowship,
that's
the Bowie
important
Fellowship.
Too, yeah.
But aside from that, we have tremendous opportunities within the community to participate in our cultural ambassador program. So we have a professional exchange team.
Oh, cool.
Who basically manages over 700 to 800 foreign delegations every year who come to Baltimore. They come through the State Department from countries all over the world, and they're here to basically learn and meet with other companies and organizations on a variety of topics. So it could be environmental discussions with the Nature Conservancy or Chesapeake Bay Foundation here in our region. It could be a discussion on how to stop human trafficking. It could be a discussion on climate change and meeting with organizations here. And our team will work with the State Department to basically make sure all those meetings are organized, that these people are networking, and that we're sort of managing their time here. But the community can also open up their homes and host one of these, one or more of these delegates who come over.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. So how easy is the process for that? And what's the response been?
Yeah, the response has been tremendous. People love doing it. And people who've done it like to come back and do it again. So if you're interested in that, please reach out to WTCI and we can share all the details.
That's so cool.
And I would just add one other point about that program. The Professional Exchange Program is great for Baltimore. It brings in about $1.5 million of additional revenue to the city and hotels and restaurants for housing and entertaining these variety of people who are coming from countries all over the world.
It's very important. Do any of them end up staying or, you know, somehow being involved beyond that program?
Absolutely. On the involvement perspective, we know that companies and these groups continue the collaboration. We also like to track the impact that it's happening in a country abroad, the impact that Maryland companies are having around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any fresh examples of people who've come here and stayed.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There's that one person in, Owings Mills that decided to stay. Exactly. I just wondered. But that's really great, you know, access, and it's great to have their perspective and to sort of show off the city and the state and all the wonderful things that are happening here. How about Albrecht Fellowships? We've heard about those, how you do a lot for students, youth diplomats in the area. So how can people get involved? What is that exactly? How do they apply? And what are some of the opportunities there for people on the student level?
These are two great programs that also take global leadership. And we move the sort of time frame down to the youth sector. So global pathways for students are for juniors and seniors in colleges. Also a very competitive program. We get a number of applications for this. So if you're a college student and you're interested in learning more about global business, global foreign affairs, this would be a similar program to the EDGE program.
Gotcha.
And then the Youth Diplomats is a program that is launching its first session January of 2020.
Oh, cool.
And this is very exciting. We're very excited that we now have a program that will allow high school students to apply for Youth Diplomats. This is a fully funded program. A wonderful gentleman named Jim Albrecht was the visionary behind this, as well as the funder for this program. And it allows high school students to now learn more about global affairs, learn more about global policy and some of these big global issues around the world.
And keep them competitive for their, you know, college career and what comes beyond that. So I wondered about the name Albrecht, so obviously you get
Jim Albrecht.
If you if you donate, you get to have your name on things, so that's good to shoot for anyway, right? So how do kids apply for that? And it's nice that they're taking the initiative because it is getting more and more competitive to get into our fine institutions. So this is a nice thing to do.
And I would love to say that the same rigor goes into the composition of the group of GPS and youth diplomats. We're looking for a well-rounded group, different diversity, diverse backgrounds. So you go online and apply at WTCI.org. There's some questions that you'll have to answer, and that goes to the selection committee, and there'll be an interview after that. And then the selection process.
Gotcha.
Yes.
That sounds all like, you know, fairly easy enough, right?
It is.
Yeah.
And we want to encourage students to apply.
Now, I think I did see you guys, might not have been you that was on Fox TV recently. You guys have been making the rounds. I think you were talking about that program, as a matter of fact.
We were. Jamal Washington, who heads up that program for WTCI, did an interview this past week on Fox.
That's great exposure. How important is that to reach out to young people? And this kind of leads us into our next topic of finding you on social media and sort of spreading the word that way. Has that become more and more important for you guys?
It is. You know, it's there's a whole generation of talent in the workforce that can be enriched through the programs that we have and really learn and connect. And so that's a segment that we're highly interested in. And in terms of keeping talent right here in Baltimore and in Maryland, this youth program is going to make a tremendous impact and allow us to really reach into these high school students and celebrate not only cultural experiences around the world, but what Baltimore has to offer, which we are very proud of.
That must be cool from your vantage point. You know, you've been there a couple of years, going on 2 years, but to see the development of people like, which you'll see, and, you know, in a few years, we'll see those high school students then mature into college students and business leaders and all up the chain, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you take a step back and you listen to the testimonials and you see where some of these professionals move in their career, or we have an opportunity soon to see where these high school students go in their career, the impact is tremendous.
Yeah. Is that what ultimately probably attracted to you to what you're doing now for the organization, what you could bring to the table?
Absolutely. This was an opportunity for me to take everything I learned in business, remain in the business community, but do it through a nonprofit, and the impact was the most important thing for me.
Yeah, and if somebody's like listening that's in the business world the way you were, like at what point do you know, okay, I've amassed this experience and these contacts and this information and this knowledge, and then when do you get that sense that it's time to give back to the community with an organization like the World Trade Center Institute? I think people in nonprofits sometimes are from a corporate background. Mm-hmm. We just talked to the head of the Maryland Food Bank, who came right from the banking industry for many years. But he's taking some of those skills and mm-hmm. sort of helping the Maryland Food Network expand in a way that he probably wouldn't be able to had he not had that business background. So the two are kind of, I think, coming together a lot more these days. Do you find that to be the case?
Absolutely. I think it's the time frame is different for everyone. But for me, I was in a very fast-paced career my entire life. And then the company I started, which was the last professional thing I did before WTCI, was a social entrepreneurship enterprise. It was a company that was all about the environment and making furniture and furnishings with the environment and climate in mind. So for me, it was this natural pathway of living my purpose.
Yeah, that was the first step. Yes. And then it's led you to the World Trade Center Institute.
Absolutely.
Right here in Baltimore and the state of Maryland. That's awesome. So how can people follow you on social media? What platforms are you on? What sorts of things might they find on there? And first of all, yeah, the most important thing is the address. How can they find you?
Yes, 421 East Pratt Street, World Trade Center building downtown is where we're located. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, as well as Instagram. And if you're interested in Women Spanning the Globe, we do have a Women Spanning the Globe LinkedIn group. And if you do go through the EDGE program, there's an alumni LinkedIn group as well. It's a private group.
Oh, very cool. I just followed you guys on LinkedIn. I found you there at World Trade Center Institute, which is also what you want to type in when you're on Facebook.
That's
to find
correct.
You guys.
Yes.
And then I found that on Instagram and Twitter, where I found that original introduction of what the mm-hmm. World Trade Center Institute is on both of them, which is good information. I found you guys at WTC Institute.
That's right.
So yeah, we want to make sure everybody's going to those proper verified accounts and everything and getting all the information. And of course, WTCI.org online would be also a great place to go to sort of get those direct links to your social media platforms.
Absolutely. And see content, videos. You can really experience a number of these events and programs by going onto the site.
That's cool. I encourage people to do that for sure. And how about signing up for your newsletters? What sorts of, it's good that you're still making print mm-hmm. things as well, right? You actually mail them out and things like that?
We do not. Our print is fairly limited to programs and events, but we do have an active email base and people who do follow us on that. So you have the opportunity to define what you're interested in, but you can sign up online as well at WTCI.org.
Okay, so they're not going to send you information. Obviously, it doesn't pertain to your interests and
that's right.
whatnot. Okay, that's perfect. Or have we forgotten anything else? Happy 30th anniversary to the World Trade Center Institute, by the way.
Thank you so much.
That's
this
awesome.
Is a big year for us.
It's huge. Anything else on the horizon that we're missing or anything else that you need the public's help with to get the word out about anything you're doing this year to celebrate your 30 years here in the state?
I think part of our celebration is just celebrate the international culture that we have right here in Baltimore and all those things that are great about Baltimore and Maryland and support our Maryland companies.
Yeah, we'd love to have a positive message, especially in light of, you know, recent, you know, situations and comments and things without getting political.
Right.
I think sometimes Baltimore has to be its own cheerleader and state of Maryland, too, sometimes. And really letting people know the wonderful things that are going on here in the community.
That's right. Thank you
for
the opportunity.
Yeah, yes. Well, absolutely. So we've been talking to Susan Applin. Again, she is the Chief Innovation Officer at the World Trade Center Institute. And anybody else, if they can get involved, is it more financial contributions people can help with or more like informational sharing type stuff? Or what's the best way that, you know, people can get involved and find out more?
I think absolutely. Information sharing, attend an event if there's a topic that interests you, but also volunteer. We have a number of volunteer opportunities for a number of our programs. So reach out to us at WTCI.org.
Great. So are those volunteer opportunities for students only or anyone can do that?
Anyone can do that.
Wonderful.
Yes.
That's good information to know. Okay. Anything I'm forgetting to ask you or any final parting words? How about, I know you don't do it alone. You have an amazing team and you're here representing the World Trade Center Institute today, but I know that you work with a lot of great folks too that might need a shout out.
I do. I'd love to give the team a shout out. That's another reason why I get up every day. We have a great family at the World Trade Center Institute. We're led by a remarkable CEO, Deb Kilty. She's been running the organization for 19 years. And my partner in crime is Eddie Resendi. He's the Chief Operating Officer. And we have just a number of great program managers and a team there. We also have a new chairman of the board, Todd Rupert, and vice chairman Peter Bowie, and Kelly Schultz, the new secretary of the Department of Commerce, is also on our executive committee as well.
Lots of exciting things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. We can find out more about them, of course, at WTCI.org. Once again, thank you so much, Susan Applin, Chief Innovation Officer at World Trade Center Institute here in Baltimore, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're awesome. Thank you guys for listening. It's Gina Crash. Reach out on social media at Gina Crash. If you have any questions, I'll put you in touch with Susan and the World Trade Center Institute. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore. Thanks for listening.